Well, good morning, everyone. I want to say hello to everyone in here and greet everyone who's with us online, wherever you are. We're just so glad that we can be with you in your space. And as we continue this gratitude message series, I want to say happy, interesting Thanksgiving week. And I think all of us could probably share in a statement that this is going to be one of the most unique that we've ever seen, if not the absolute most unique that we've seen. And yet, what a timely moment for us to just dive into the concept of gratitude and hear God's heart on it so that we can live differently this week, no matter what's going on around us. I believe that gratitude makes a lasting impact. It's not just a warm feeling that we have, but it can change our lives and it can change the circumstances that we are in around us. Even the most simple things that we're grateful for. Every night in our home, we have a practice, actually not every night, most nights, we'll ask the kids the question, what was the best part of your day today? And it's not uncommon to hear about recess, pizza at lunch, a good hang with a friend, but we'll share in that oftentimes. And 2 weeks ago, my son and I had the same favorite part of the day, and it was very simple. It was 10 minutes throwing a football back and forth in our yard, but I almost missed it. And tell you the story. I was on vacation 2 weeks ago working diligently on some projects on our house that we're trying to take across the finish line. And Everett was doing school from home just above where I was working. And he got on break and flew down the steps and said, Dad, let's go play catch. Now, I wish I could say I eagerly said, yes, let's do it. But I was trapped in the focus of what I was doing because when I get focused on something that I know I got to bring to completion quickly, I can get a little too focused on that and miss the world around me. But God hit my heart real quick and he said, drop what you're doing and go. So I put the carpet tiles down and ran outside with my boy and we had an absolute blast. Remember that 70 degree day a couple weeks ago? That was that day. So we were flying around in the yard. He was running these made up pass routes and we just had an absolute ball. And at the end of the night, again, we shared in that best part of the day that was the moment. For me personally, I'm grateful for that. I'm glad I didn't miss it because of my disposition to get too focused on things that really matter less than what matters more. But that gratitude that I have for that moment is not, again, just a warm sentiment. It's something that teaches me. The first thing that it teaches me is it fills my heart for my gratitude for him and my daughter and my wife and our family and just inspires me more to live out love with them. And it also teaches me. And what I mean by that is I think as parents, one of the best discipleship tools that we can have and we can make available is not just our time, but our focus and attention. Because those two things are different. But to focus in on our kids and to be with them right in the midst of what they're doing. But then also it teaches me to be a better dad every day. I want to do that better. I want to say yes more eagerly. Gratitude makes an impact. It lasts. That might be a moment I remember for a long time and instructs me. Maybe you have moments like that as well. Gratitude is so important to commit to and to live out always, but especially right now. Everything around us in our life right now, friends, is positioned against us having gratitude in our life. All the circumstances that we're walking through are heavy. And we oftentimes, I don't know about you, but I have to fight for it. We experience restrictions we don't prefer. We might have differences or divisions amongst friends or families. And again, Thursday, our Thanksgiving celebrations will look very different. I've just found myself in this season to be much more prone towards negativity, pessimism, sometimes grumbling. How about you? It's not how I want to live, but this isn't a fun moment, but I just don't think that we can thrive without gratitude. Bob Groff writes these words. He says, they say you can divide the world into two types of people, those who see the glass as half full and those who see the glass as half empty. You've probably heard that expression before. But he continues and says, but I don't see this optimism or pessimism. To me, it's more about gratitude. Instead of one or the other, I tend to think, oh, wow, I've actually got something in my glass. That's gratitude. So if you find yourself today in a negative space, perhaps pessimism is winning the day. Maybe grumbling is on your lips more than you want it to be. And negativity is at the controls of your life more than you want. There is a solution that God invites us into. And it's gratitude. It's practicing and living gratefulness. It's replacing grumbling with gratitude, and it's more important than we may know. Here's the message. Gratitude is God's will for your life because through it, he'll grow our faith and bless the world around us as we live gratefully. Gratitude is God's will for your life. We're going to hang in 1 Thessalonians 5. And if you've got your Bible with you, I've seen a few in the room. Maybe it's on your phone or a printed copy. Or if you're online with us, just grab your Bible, open it up to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to hang there for a while. And I want to give you just a little bit of context for the words that we're going to read. First, it's written by Paul to the church at Thessalonica, that ancient city. He's got an affectionate relationship with them, but he's writing it in prison in Rome. Now imagine writing the words "be grateful" or expressing gratitude towards people when you've got shackles around your wrists. That's tough. So it's about as real as it gets. Secondly, he's in this run of like quick hit final instructions. Every word is significant in terms of what he's trying to remind them of and how to live out. It kind of reminds me of coaching baseball, my son's team. When kids would go up to the plate, I'd just say everything that was important that I wanted them to remember in that moment. Keep your elbow up, bend your knees, swing the bat straight, keep your eye on the ball, and totally overwhelm them. But all those instructions matter. And all these last instructions matter. And here's the thing that I'm emphasizing. Reading the Bible is really important to do for meaning and not efficiency. Because in this section, I know for myself, I would be prone to just read these words and kind of move on. But I want us to sit in them and soak in them because I truly believe God has invitations. They're all different, but God has invitations for us to live this out this week. Let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. It'll come up on the screen as well. It says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let me read that one more time. "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." What we're going to explore today are not simple habits to improve your life. What we're going to explore today is the will of God for us because he's designed us for these things that we step into. Gratitude that's driven by faith in Jesus looks like three consistent practices that we hear right from the scripture and want to just share and kind of dive into each of them. The first is this, to rejoice always. Now, the word rejoice is rooted in faith and it's grounded in God himself, in his goodness to us that comes to us always. But how many of us rejoice always? I know I don't. Rejoice always. And those words, those always and continually, those words are given to us by God as targets of our journey, of who to become, through which he will give us his power and strength through the Holy Spirit in order to become that more every day. In other words, I, as I'm trusting in Jesus, will be able to rejoice always better than I did yesterday. And tomorrow, the same will be true of me than today. Because this is a growth experience. In other words, a sanctification thing, a growth to become more like Jesus as he gives us all the resources that we need. And the reason for our rejoicing is not rooted in circumstantial happiness. To rejoice is founded on the eternal truth of who God is and what he brings to us all the time. And the reason why I think that's so important right now is because I know for many of us, we are walking through very, very difficult circumstances that are way outside of our control. And some of you today are in a really hard place. And if that's you, God has eternal truth to speak to you today in order that you will be reminded of his goodness that's coming to you always. Three passages pop to mind for me to share to those of us, all of us, but really for those of us who are in that hard place to remember and be grateful for. Just three simple passages. Listen to these with me as I read them. Romans 8, 38 through 39. "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is for us in Christ Jesus." Amen. Nothing. Hear that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, if you're not sure what's going to unfold in your life over the next few months and years, God says to you this, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And then when all else is crumbling around us and it's deeply uncertain, maybe for us in our view of who's in control. Here's what it says about Jesus in Colossians 1:17. He, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Your life, my life, the circumstances of this world, where this world is going in the ultimate end, all things hold together in Jesus Christ. Hear that truth. Hear that truth over your circumstances, because God is bigger. God is bigger than our hardships. And he's seeking for us to hold on to it. Here's the difference that I think it can make. Calling to mind God's eternal truth from the scriptures allows us to have gratitude to win no matter what's going on, because there's always something to be grateful for. We can make a shift. I think just for example, if we find ourselves, maybe you have, grumbling about COVID and its effects, we can be grateful for this moment in which this disease is giving us an opportunity to learn how to care uniquely for our own health. I think as we might be in a place where we could be grumbling about the election season and all the circumstances, we can be reminded and grateful in the renewed realization that Jesus Christ is our King, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen and amen. I think if we find our place in a spot of grumbling about inconveniences of our current life, to be grateful that God is providing an eternal life that we can look forward to when this life is finished, that we can live in right now no matter what the circumstances are. The eternal life that God gives to us persists. It persists. And in Psalm 34, listen to these words. This is a prayer of gratitude for who God is that we can enter into in our heart. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord, and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Taste and see. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. A rejoicing gratitude is rooted in faith and grounded in God's goodness for us always. The second practice that this looks like is to pray continually. And the emphasis is that our gratitude that we feel is simultaneous with the prayers that we pray, that we're not just feeling grateful or that we're not arbitrarily casting gratitude off into the universe, but it's an expression of what we know to be true out of James 1:17, where it says this as a promise, for every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and God has intentioned good into our life. Yes, indeed. Thank you, God. This means to pray out of our gratitude, to cast our gratitude to God, and to do so without intermission. How many of us pray continually? We do our best, but we can always grow in that. Again, here's a picture of who you and I can become more of as we trust in God and his ability to help change our life. A picture of who we can become. We can rejoice always more than we did yesterday. We can pray continually more than we will tomorrow than we did today. And God will give us what we need. You know, recently a few of us on staff were talking about the concept of gratitude, and a friend of mine here asked a really honest question that I was grateful that he did so. He said, what do we do if we find ourselves stuck in a rut of pessimism or negativity? Anybody here have that question kind of hit you? Relate to it maybe? When you're in a rut, a groove of negativity and pessimism, that groove can get pretty deep quick. So how do you get out of that? I think it's as simple as to practice this. Let me give you an idea. If you're in a place where negativity is running the controls, and you're in that rut, every day when you wake up or when you go to bed, take a gratitude journal, just a simple journal or a piece of paper, and write down 5 things that you're grateful for. It'll be there. Maybe give it some space and some quiet. Allow God to kind of prompt your heart to see what you can be grateful for. Write it down and then pray right away. And as you do that consistently, you'll begin to climb out of that rut. Because again, gratitude is a faith-building exercise that celebrates what we're grateful for with God. Thirdly, give thanks in all circumstances. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks means that we do something about our gratefulness, that we express it. I have a wise friend here that says that unexpressed gratitude is actually ingratitude. What a reminder. It's to express gratefulness to God as the source of all good, and as we do so, God may nudge you to express your gratitude to others that he's reminded you of how they're his gift to you in your life. It's a prayer-filled action. And expressing gratitude, I think, solidifies the intention that God has for us in our gratitude in order to shape our lives and bless the world around us. Giving thanks means to express gratefulness, but in all circumstances means that we do so when the sun is shining and when it's dark, when the weather is warm and calm and pleasing, and when it's really stormy in our life. To give thanks in all of it. And I want you to know that I think the intention here is not that we should give thanks for all our circumstances. I don't think that's what God is emphasizing here. I think that God is calling us to give thanks in them. Because there's always something to be grateful for, even in the midst of hardship. I have a friend who keeps a gratitude journal. It's his practice. And what he'll do every morning is he'll go to the coffee maker and hit the button. And maybe you drink coffee, so you know what I'm talking about. There's always that space in between the button push and when you get to enjoy it. Just waiting. Is it ready yet? What he does is takes that moment and uses it for gratitude. So he'll push the button and go sit in his chair and write down three things every day that he's grateful for. And he'll pray about it and thank God for it and glorify God. And then it's not uncommon for him to send a text to a person or to send an email or to send a card because he acts. It's an action for him. And that's a delightful practice for him as he expresses his gratitude. I just wonder, how many of us go about our days on autopilot without being able to have eyes to see the good that God has for us every day? I can say that I do more often than I want. And what the practice of gratitude is a persistent openness towards seeing all of life as grace. Every bit of it. Grace from God as the provider. In the simple things, in the significant celebrations, in the hardship, in the relational tension, in the circumstances outside of our control, while we're in them to give thanks to God, because what will happen is your heart will rise to an altitude that it wouldn't without gratitude. And that altitude is praise, it's recognition, it's growth, and it's strength. In gratitude, we pay attention to our lives and locate the good. Now here's the last part, and this got me personally most. This is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. There's a punctuation in the text that has an intention, and I want to share it with you. We can look at it together. It says, rejoice always, comma, pray continually, comma, give thanks in all circumstances, semicolon, for this is God's will for you. What that punctuation does in the original language is it ties all three of those things together to explain the last part. So rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances is God's will for our life. Being grateful is God's will for our life. This just kind of opened up my eyes in a whole new way, and it's crazy to me. Maybe it is to you too, but it really got me this week. Because I think a lot of us are asking the question, God, what is your specific will for my life? What do you want me to do today, tomorrow, this month, next year? What's my purpose? God's answered that in the scriptures. And he answers that by giving us wisdom when we need it. And one of the answers to the question, God, is what is your will, your purpose, your intention? What have you created me for in this life? Is to be grateful. To be grateful. Because God uses our gratitude to grow our faith and to bless the world around us. God's will is his purpose and his command, and in Christ Jesus means set apart from the ways outside of Jesus. And his will is the action we take in order to live our life the way that he desires for us to do so, which the result is that we have our life to the full that we've been made for. Gratitude is a passageway for that life to the full, and he calls us into it. His purpose, his will, his command is not for us to be pessimistic, not for us to be in that rut of negativity, not for us to grumble. His will, his purpose is for us to live grateful lives, not in denial of the hard things that we walk through, but persistent in the midst of them to see his goodness, because it's there. It's there. Gratitude is being grateful to God, and our gratitude to him is our worship. And our worship is our purpose for how he's designed our life to be lived, to worship him through everything that we do, so we can rejoice and we can be glad, because Jesus reigns and is holding all of our life together. Throughout my journey, I've had a number of examples of what gratitude looks like that God has used to help shape my heart and continues to do so. And one of those examples that I've been tremendously blessed with is a part of our church, and his name is Justin. We're going to show you Justin's story today. And I've gotten a chance to get to know his family. I've gotten to see his gratitude as God calls him to live gratefully in action. And it's made a tremendous difference. And our hope and our trust is that God will use Justin's story to inspire you to look to Jesus and to live gratefully this week and beyond. Let's take a look together.
Justin sees the world in a very different way than you and I do.
Justin has the ability to just see through directly to people's hearts.
So Justin sees himself as a person with Up syndrome, not Down syndrome, which is the clinical diagnosis for Justin's condition.
For him, it was frustrating that it was called Down syndrome, and we had to kind of explain that to him and say, well, it's because of the person who discovered it. It's not that it's something that's negative to you. It's just who happened to name it.
So it's always been Up syndrome, and his dad, Jim, really kind of reinforced that in Justin's life too, again, that he was a gift. God knew what he was doing. God doesn't make mistakes. And boy, has that ever played out in our life.
I think Justin is the embodiment of gratitude. It's just who he is. And he just lives that out in his daily life.
So he sees people doing things for him, and his heart is filled with gratitude. So then he turns around when his heart is full, and he wants to give back. And it's overflowing. It's like he can't help it. He makes lists of all the people he wants to write notes to or thank yous to or just for no reason at all, bring somebody flowers. This last week, he's actually bought flowers to 5 people. Some of them had birthdays, some of them were sick, but he just loves loving on other people. So he takes what he's getting in love into his own life, and he turns that around and gives back.
Justin just has a heart to serve people, and he likes to see a need and then help out. If we have friends or people we know who are either sick or have surgery or something like that, he loves to bring them a meal just to encourage them.
So Justin lost his dad in March of 2011. He died of melanoma cancer. And it was a really tough time for Justin because he and his dad were totally tight. They were very, very close. And all of a sudden, a couple of days after Jim passed away, Justin said, "Mom, Dad's gone fishing."
And at first we were trying to figure out what exactly he meant by that, but Justin sees my dad as fishing in heaven. That's how he views heaven.
So now when people pass away or die, Justin says, "They went fishing with Dad." And the other day he said, "Mom, someday I'm gonna go fishing with Dad." So he sees where his dad is, and now death is not scary for him. It's something to look forward to when the time comes. Justin looks at God as someone he can count on and who will be faithful to him. And he has just very simple trust. He's not encumbered by a lot of the other things we are, and he just sees God for who he is. And Justin shows that out every day. He says, "God wins, God's got this." And so Justin has a very firm foundation in who God is and that he's taking care of Justin.
And there is a special connection that Justin has in his relationship with God. I don't know how to explain it. I can't put a pretty box around it with a bow. It's just Justin being who he is, and as he's gotten older, that love and that passion for serving Jesus has just fueled whatever he does. He is a great reminder for us to be grateful just because of who he is and what he does. And because he just sees people for who they are and where they have needs and wants to just meet those, I think that in itself is a great reminder to me of what gratitude is. We just find it to be such a joy to have him as part of our family and who we are.
Justin's with us in the room today. And Justin, we are so thankful for you and how you just show us Jesus. And Judy and Jamie and Phil, thank you for your family story and how it points us to what really matters and how we can all live out gratitude every day in our life. We honor you and are so grateful for you. Can we thank Justin and their family one more time? One of the things that captured me about the story as I've been watching it this morning is, and I think it was Jamie that said, he can't help it. It just pours out of him. And that's what this looks like. That's what this looks like, to live connected to God, to recognize no matter what's going on around us that all of life is grace, to worship God through our gratitude to him and as God leads us, to literally have our lives change and change the world around us by being a blessing. That's what this is. Simple, humble recognition that we get to live out today and this week, no matter what's going on out there. We are the people of Jesus who get to live out there what we've done in here, so let's go do that. Would you stand with me, and we'll pray and we'll sing? Oh, God, thank you for this moment. God, we, in just prayerful gratitude, celebrate and thank you for Justin and his family. In his story, in their story, and how it just instructs us and points us to your love and your goodness and grace. And I pray that what we've heard from you today, your word, this story, the prompting that you've given to us will be one that we live out there in everything that we do, because you're out, you're leading us, you're guiding us, you're with us in every step that we take, and your goodness is coming to us without end, persistent. In the midst of all we struggle through. And God, a lot of us are struggling right now, and you see that. And you're sending goodness our way. So God, awaken our hearts, open our eyes, that we might see your persistent, eternal goodness, and we might worship you this week for it. Give us what we need in order to do that. You do that, that's your promise. May we receive from you the strength and the courage and the nudgings from you in order to do just that. Jesus, we are grateful for the eternal life that you have sacrificed and laid your life down in order that we might have it. May it be ours more every day. In your name we pray, amen.